Welcome to Forums for a Future. No, it's not 1960. It's nearly half a century later. But, once again, there are warnings of danger all over the land. It's time, once again, to reclaim a future that is free of war, racism, and poverty. A brighter future of promise and hope. I am Edward Renner, your host for a series of civic discussions, forums, if you will, toward creating a more viable future. The complete outline for the podcast series and all of the reference materials are available on the Forums for a Future homepage on my website at www.kerenner.com. It is not sufficient to complain about the present. One must also have a prescription for the future. Podcast number 15. Personal and Private Tools for Change. Part 1 of my podcast series contains a brief 2-minute promotional and a conceptual foundation for thinking about change as the convergence of economic, political, social, and personal perspectives. Part 2 is a set of 4 podcasts providing a philosophy for the 21st century. Part 3 is a set of 4 podcasts describing 3 lessons from modern history on the interplay of power, wealth, and belief for informing the present. Part 4 contains 3 prescriptive principles for having a future. Part 5 describes 2 tools for change. Today, in podcast number 15, I will discuss the first of these 2 tools, those that are personal and private. We have a uniquely personal and private responsibility for the future that is the foundation for our sense of self and for a coherent sense of self-direction. Of the 4 pillars that I identified at the beginning of this podcast, 3 are structural and thus impersonal. They are, 1, economic, as exemplified by the writing of Thomas Friedman in his book The Earth is Flat. Number 2, social, as exemplified by the writing of Jared Diamond in his book Collapse. And 3, political, as exemplified by the writing of Gwen Dyer in his book Future Tense. These 3 pillars of wealth, belief, and power, respectively, are the timeless structures that have shaped human history. The record of these forces are traces of human progress we call history. Historical scholarship is the examination of these records to explain the past, to understand the present, and, in the process, to be prescriptive for the future. But there's also a 4th element. It is, after all, human beings who have used wealth, belief, and power to forge, sometimes for the better and sometimes for the worst, how history has unfolded. Individual people are responsible for the reality of our present, and ultimately for our hopes and potential for the future. Thus, the 4th pillar, the psychological, is the one that is uniquely personal and private. Although we, as individual people, often feel helpless in the hands of fate, paradoxically, it is only us, individually and collectively, that can and will deliver the future. Perhaps for the first time in the history of the planet, the future for which we are the authors will not be for our great-grandchildren, our grandchildren, or even our own children, Rather, it will be our own future. Intergenerational now has a new meaning. The youth and the adults of today, unlike any other time, now share a common future and have a joint responsibility for transforming the present and for delivering themselves their own joint future. What an exciting time to be alive. Thomas Friedman entitled the last chapter of his book, Imagination. That is what he thinks it will take for individuals to survive in the new flat world we have just entered. Imagination is the capacity to think outside the box. Given that we, today, are the first of the new millennium, our choice is either to be on the leading edge of change or to be left behind as an individual, as a company, or a country. Imagination is required to embrace and to fly ahead of change so as to already be there when it arrives. Jared Diamond reached a similar conclusion in his book on how societies choose to fail or to succeed, but it was based on social science concepts. It is the capacity of individuals to let go of core values and beliefs when they are no longer valid in order to be able to adapt to new circumstances. This requires a social system that makes change and adaptation possible. Social values, such as sustaining the quality of life, need to have sufficient counterweight to balance simple-minded economic and political forces that give preeminence to accumulated wealth and power. Therein lies the power of balance. Gwen Dyer, in his book, describes how a dysfunctional political ideology in the United States has thrown the world off track and has actually brought it to the edge of disaster. Alternative concepts to the current national politics are required to recover a future, not just for the United States, but for the planet itself. His truly awesome proposition is that it is us, in the United States, as the most powerful nation in the world, who must assume this leadership. If we do not, figuratively speaking, we are going to be the ultimate suicide bomber that takes out the world through the pursuit of narrow, short-range thinking, just like the failed societies described by Diamond. That is why we, in the United States, have a special responsibility for the future. Each of these three authors wrote popular, best-selling books. All three were trying to talk to each of us as individuals to capture our minds. Each author was cautiously optimistic that this human experiment on the planet Earth could actually work out. Their books are not about doomsday predestinations. Rather, they are about an urgent opportunity to demonstrate that human intelligence can be used to design and sustain human progress. Jared Diamond gave a deeply personal answer in response to the question, "Jared, are you optimistic or pessimistic about the world's future?" His answer, I quote, "I am cautiously optimistic. By that, I mean that on the one hand, I acknowledge the seriousness of the problems facing us. If we don't make a determined effort to solve them, and if we don't succeed at that effort, the world as a whole within the next few decades will face a declining standard of living, or perhaps something worse. That is the reason why I decided to devote most of my career efforts at this stage of my life to convince people that our problems have to be taken seriously and won't go away otherwise. On the other hand, we shall be able to solve our problems if we choose to do so. That is why my wife and I decided to have children 17 years ago, because we did see grounds for hope. End of quote. It's page 521. Thus, all three authors are telling us that economically, socially, and politically, we are at an inflection point in history. We are at a time when old concepts and old ways of thinking have reached their end point. Now is the time for creative and imaginative thinking. It is thinking that will challenge long-standing, often unquestionable, beliefs, values, attitudes, and behaviors. How do we do this? How do we, as individuals, rise to this enormous challenge? How do we put into practice a personal philosophy for the 21st century? A philosophy that will allow us to create new, alternative constructions of how we interpret and understand the world in which we now live. A world in which answers from the past must all be treated as suspect. The answers to these questions are at one and the same time very simple and straightforward, yet exceedingly difficult to carry out. They are difficult because it is very hard for people to let go of core beliefs and values. This is because long-standing, unquestioned beliefs, values, and behaviors are an integral part of our definition of self, who it is we know ourselves to be. People do not let go of their sense of self easily. Indeed, what we are talking about is to open the possibility for the emergence of a different person. Why would anyone undertake such a difficult personal journey? The answer is because to not do so will be even more dangerous. We each have a choice to make. We live now in a time when many people are disillusioned with politics and the political process. Many feel helpless in the face of economic globalization. Politically, we are increasingly asked to fear others who would harm us, thus competitively setting us against them. We are asked to relinquish our freedoms in order to confront those we are asked to fear at a time when greater world cooperation is essential to reduce the danger. Yet, to regain a stronger, coherent sense of self, we need to resist this pressure, to question what we are doing, and to seek new constructions with alternative visions. Such times of change are both threatening, because so much is unknown, and exhilarating, because so much is possible. Psychologically, how do we cross over the bridge and make the personal choice to re-examine issues that go to the core of our sense of self? What are the psychological tools for doing this? Some guidelines are: 1. Avoid absolutes. Events and issues in the real world do not owe allegiance to any particular explanation or viewpoint. The events and issues just exist. It is human beings who impose meaning and interpretations on them. Like all human actions, they are subject to a wide range of perspectives. 2. Remember, ideas are inventions. Our core beliefs and values, our attitudes and judgments, are inventions. They are conceptual tools created by our imagination. This does not mean that every idea and every viewpoint is just as good as any other. Our interpretations must prove themselves to be worthy of retention by being useful. And if they are not, then we must have the honesty to abandon them and to adopt other beliefs. 3. Treat life as an experiment. The test for any construct is how well it works. When issues or events occur which contradict the principle, then adjustments are required. It is outcomes in the real world that provide the feedback to refine and make more sophisticated our ideas and our concepts. It is an endless, self-correcting process of invention, not discovery. We do not discover the truth. Rather, we create approximations by trying new ways of thinking when old ones fail. 4. Use imagination. Living creatively is an imaginative process. In a world without absolute truths, progress inches forward by creating better and more useful constructs to explain the past, to understand the present, and prescriptively to reach for the future. 5. Ask yourself, what if? What if you were in another person's shoes? How would you react? What if another country was occupying our country? How would you react to their troops? What would you do or think if you had a serious sickness in your family and no health care nor money to pay for the treatment? 6. Try different perspectives. Try out different perspectives the way you try on a new article of clothing. See how it fits. We can do this by seeking out others who hold different views or who are in a different position and ask what they think and why. Do this honestly, not as an argument, but as genuine curiosity. There is no need to educate them about your views that are to the contrary. It is your goal to be able to explain them, to see how they see the issue, and to consider whether it is reasonable, given their assumptions. These are but a few of the tools that psychologists and others have created for helping people to be flexible and adaptable. There are many books devoted to this process. The important point is not the list of specific tools, but rather a personal choice to find and use the tools that are the best for each of us. This means making a deliberate choice to examine the economic, social, and political issues raised by Friedman, Diamond, and Dyer, respectively, and to start the process of personal rediscovery. When I created Forums for the Future podcast around the notion of these four pillars, the graphic image in my head was the economic, social, political, and psychological anchoring the four corners of a box. Inside the box was our individual sense of self. Each of us are caged economically by the resources available to us, socially by what others have done, politically by what governments do, and psychologically by our own constructs, that is, our interpretations and understanding of our situation. There is no escape from the matrix formed by these four pillars. These are the human constraints within which each of us makes our individual choices. It is from these choices we gain our sense of self. We gain a coherent sense of self-direction when we start to assume personal and private responsibility for how wealth, belief, and power are harnessed for the benefit of humankind. This means reversing the effects of economic globalization in order to decrease national and world wealth and income disparities, adapting lifestyles and standards of human activity to fit within the capacity of the planet to sustain itself, and to create world political structures capable of advancing the level of international cooperation that is necessary for a safe and secure world. Such a world is one that is free of fear, hunger, and despair that foster disorder, oppression, and terror. Playing competitively to win as a national citizen in the new flat world is to lose it all. Playing cooperatively not to lose it all as a citizen of the world is to win. But not playing at all is to lose a sense of self and to be without a coherent sense of self-direction. Today, local is global and the future is now. What an exciting time to be alive. Although this journey must begin within ourselves and is therefore personal and private, it must end with others and eventually become political and public. Making the transition from the personal and private to the political and public is the subject of the next podcast. I will close today's podcast with a recording of Dylan Thomas reading his poem, "Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night."
Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Though wise men at their end know dark is right, because their words had forked no lightning, they do not go gentle into that good night. Good men the last wave by, crying how bright their frail deeds might have danced in a green bay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Wild men who caught and sang the sun in flight, and learned too late they grieved it on its way, do not go gentle into that good night. Grave men near death, who see with blinding sight, blind eyes could blaze like meteors and be gay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.